See more comments, then I see commas. Hit them with dummy, we going down to, let me be honest, let me be honest.
What up, y'all? Welcome back to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth, live from the American Family Insurance Studios. It's your boy Ray Nitty holding it down on the grapevine. DJ Brother Z holding us down with the production and sound. How y'all feeling, man? If you're just joining us, 833-212-1017. That's the number to dial. 833-212-1017. That's the number to dial. Man, I hope y'all feeling good today, man. It's Friday. It's Feel Good Friday. We opened up the lines, y'all, so y'all could call in and share something you proud of. Somebody, something, whatever. A project you working on. Even if you just want to shout out your high school. Call us up. 833-212-1017. Friday is always about y'all, man. We putting y'all first. If you want to give some flowers to somebody, call up and share that. 833-212-1017. That's the number to dial. Hour two, y'all. Hour two. But before we move on to hour two, we did have a video that I want to share with y'all real quick. And then we'll go on to a special talk about alcoholism in the black community. So, but first, this video is going to be about, it was a report. And I might watch the whole documentary. And I said I wanted to go visit some of these data centers too. And some of these neighborhoods to actually talk to the people. Because it's a lot different when you're just hearing all of the noise on social media. People that aren't really informed. People that didn't really go do any real research. They're just saying the things that come to their heads or things that they see. And then they regurgitate that. But this is talking about, they call it the data center hub of the country, right? And they talk about how much taxes they raise off of it. So let's hear about it, and they'll talk about the pros and the cons.
Washington, D.C., to see what one of these buildings and hundreds like it in Loudoun County have contributed to the local economy. Loudoun County residents have a 20-year history with data centers. And now, with the advent of AI, all of that has become supercharged, and there's even more demand for data centers. This intersection really represents the past and the future promise of Loudoun County. You see here a data center that's already been developed and was used during the internet boom and still is being used. And then you see here a data center under construction. There has never been a day in Loudoun County in 16 years that a data center has not been under construction. And it just feels like the construction is sped up and that the centers are being built closer and closer to people's homes. The story of Loudoun County becoming the data center hub of the world probably begins around the mid-90s when a bunch of fiber was put underneath this county to connect the internet. After that, AOL came and the county made a very pivotal decision to zone data centers similarly to offices, which means that it was very easy to set up a data center in this area. And suddenly, data centers flourished. The data centers provide two kinds of taxes, and the total of that tax revenue is supposed to be about $1.3 billion in 2027. Perhaps the biggest boon for residents here is that almost every year, the Board of Supervisors have voted to lower property taxes on residents because they're getting a surplus of tax revenues from these data centers.
Every year. Driving around Loudoun. You can keep playing. You can keep it going some more.
Behind them are cranes of new data centers being built. You hear a constant buzz of noise from ventilators.
Yeah, I want them to hear this part.
You also see how that tax revenue from these data centers are being put to use. You see new libraries, schools, beautiful neighborhoods, recreation centers, like this $100 million building that opened late last year, in large part because of tax revenue from the data centers. And I wanted to come here to ask residents how they feel about life in Loudoun County.
Don't love the data centers. There are neighborhoods losing power on a daily basis because of
having to share energy with the data centers.
Yeah.
They're trying to encroach whatever the land they can get in Loudoun County.
They closed down a lot of businesses, a lot of shops.
but it does provide a lot of tax benefits. Quality of life is fantastic. Yes, I mean, it's expensive, but the data centers have helped because their school got a new playground.
The education is pretty high. Well, it's great to raise a family.
Yeah, you can.
Some government leaders feel like there is too much dependence on the data center industry. If there's any sort of decline in the performance of the businesses, the county will be directly affected. There are more signs that there is skepticism now towards the data center industry. Last year, the Board of Supervisors of Loudoun County voted to end this provision that designates data centers like office parks. And by doing that, it's going to be harder for data centers to just open up and start building here.
Yep. All right, y'all. So that was some of the pros and the cons, right? Some of the pros and the cons. We heard it from people there. And I want to go deeper, though. I want to go deeper eventually, man. I want to visit some neighborhoods here, some communities here in Wisconsin. $100 million facility, libraries, rebuilding schools, repaving roads, playgrounds. Every year, their council has voted to lower property taxes because of the surplus. And that all sound good, but there is another side to it, right? We heard some neighborhoods lose power because of the shared energy. And these are some of the things that we talk about that people should be concerned about. How are you getting power? Bring your own clean energy. Are you using closed loop water systems, closed cooling system, closed loop cooling systems? Meaning that you're not just using a whole bunch of water and driving up costs. So some of those concerns people are talking about are very real, right? As we just heard. But what we did hear is cost was actually being going down. Now, I didn't hear them talk about the cost on electrical. I know they said property taxes are going down and the quality of life has went up. But some annoyances still are there. How do we make data centers cleaner? How do we make them more quiet? How do we make them more green energy, I guess, to where we even see way better results than what they have in Loudoun County? Every year, what they say, every year since 2017, they voted to lower property taxes because of the surplus. Yes, we have to have regulations. We have to hold them accountable. 100%. We got to make sure communities are not being negatively impacted by data centers coming in the community. But my point this whole time is we also need to be extremely, extremely super concerned about the real environmental injustices that we have right here today, every day going on right now in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We got Sandra on the line. Sandra, how you doing? You live on the Grapevine.
Okay, thank you. Hi.
Hey.
I'm doing fine. And I was listening. Okay, now, you were talking about the data centers. Now, aren't they supposed to be for storage of stuff? To store stuff?
You're talking about the Midtown
buildings?
The Midtown one?
Well, all of them that they're building, I thought they, it's a storage.
Some of them,
information.
Data, online storage, and stuff like that. Yep.
Yeah.
And some of them do other things, so I'm not the expert on it, so don't make me, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to look it up anyways, but because we have to look at this stuff, because they said that they're going to have all the information on us. If we don't pay our bills, they can go into that part of it, and they might go in your bank account, collect the money to pay your bill for you. Yeah, and that's what I'm kind of fearing, that we won't have our privacy anymore.
Miss Sandra, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
They going in our accounts right now and paying our bills if we don't pay.
Very demure, very mindful.
That's the data center.
They
started this a long time ago. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Let us owe some taxes. They going to freeze that account.
Yeah.
They going to go in that account, take that money.
And some more. You know, and like I said, whatever we put on these phones and our messages, they're going to know everything we said. You know, I mean, if we use the bathroom, they're going to know that too.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
You know, and then they got the spy machines. I was saying they had the spy machines running around in the drones and stuff. I believe this is going to be an authoritarian nation. And we're almost there. If you look at the steps of how every dictator got in place, we're almost there. I'm going to ask you one more quick question.
Go ahead.
You were talking, whatever happened to Foxconn?
That is Microsoft now.
Somebody else bought it out.
Yep, it is now Microsoft data center. So we actually just talked about this earlier this week. Yeah, we talked about it this week. They were supposed to be making like LED screens or something when it was Foxconn. Now, it's either Microsoft or Google. It's one of those two. I want to say it's Microsoft though. But it is Microsoft and Google or Google right now.
One more thing, real quick. Now, you were talking about the when they wanted to build this plant with a cow plant or something up here by A.L. Smith, where it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my dad used to work for a cow plant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, he smelled so bad when he come out of there.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't stand it. He had to leave his clothes on the outside.
Yep. No, I agree with you. I remember what Cargill smelled like when it was down over there by Pottawatomie. 100%. 100%, Miss Sandra. Them things stink. They stink. We'll be back and we'll talk more about Cargill and his stinking operations when we get back on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Once upon a time and I heard that I was ugly. Came from a chick who not wanna touch. I said my face bomb, abs tight, racks stuck up, shack height, jury on me, flashlight. I've been listening since last night. Hit him with that good, good, make you wanna act right. Broke boys don't deserve no kitty. I know that's right. Big bag pussy, not the Bentley band. Take
what up, y'all? What up, what up, what up, what up? Welcome back. Excuse me, I'm just getting off my lunch break. Welcome back to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. This is The Grapevine with your boy Ray Nitty. Somebody just joined me in the studio, man. Maybe Shannon just popped in.
I'm back.
Fresh off some sap sap and yum yum.
Man, that sap sap and yum yum did it. All right, that gave me another hour worth of ammunition.
Man.
Charged me up.
You're right in time, Shannon, actually. We're just about to get into our alcoholism in the black community. Before we did that, I know we were supposed to have. Did we do the appetizer about what's the name? Not one kids.
We did not do that. Talk about it. We didn't. We were supposed to talk about it, but we talked about my homegirl Taekwondo High Kick.
Yep. So yeah, let's talk about that real quick, and then we'll go into alcoholism in the black community. Far as it was, I keep wanting to say Lauryn Hill. She like, well, talk about it. You like, go ahead, talk about it. I'm still chewing right.
I was like,
okay.
Janet Jackson.
Oh my God.
What's her name?
It was Mary J.
Mary J. Blige. Why Shannon acting like she don't know? See me, I'm struggling, fighting for my life. They're like, just don't stop talking.
I was like, hold on. Look, I'm
just keep talking.
Bro, Ray gonna be the one to get us put out of here. Y'all, just so everybody know, Ray is a bad influence.
100%.
100%. He said, yeah. That's me.
100% I am.
But what would we do without? We need some good troubling.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
Make good some good noise. Absolutely.
On. Man, so I pulled up a little report.
Okay.
All right. So Mary Blair. Jesus. Mary J. Blige is trending again because she recently opened up about her decision not to have children and admitted that she, as she has gotten older, she sometimes thinks about what she may have missed out on.
Mm.
Okay. So in a recent episode of Michelle Obama and Craig Robinson's IMO podcast, the 55-year-old singer reflected on how she made the decision when she was younger. She said watching women around her struggle with childcare, babysitters, and having less freedom influenced her thinking. What makes the story interesting is that her perspective has evolved. Back in 2022, Mary was very clear that she liked her freedom and she didn't want the responsibility of constantly having to care for someone. Now, she says, seeing how valuable children are to people as they grow older has made her look at the decision differently. So she need a, she like, look, I'm getting old. I need somebody to watch me. I want a babysitter. Like, anywho, sorry. Reports quote her essentially saying, Mary, call me. Yeah, reports quote her essentially saying, oh man, when she sees the relationships other people have with their grown children while still acknowledging that she made the choice that felt right for her at the time. So she want the children, but them to be grown already. She don't want to watch them kids. She still don't want no kids. I can tell you that.
She could adopt if it was that
That's
serious.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. There's so
a bunch
many,
of them.
So many teenagers that could use a home, a parent. So that would be, I don't know, a good option.
Do you gotta pay for your child? Like, is it like
like China? They look. If you look, let me tell.
Like,
it,
if you adopted one, is it like okay? We just assign you a kid, or you have to like pay
kids.
And enroll.
That's the rich people kids. They get to pick what
there's
they
there's definitely an adoption fee.
There even in America?
Yes.
Wild.
Like I even if like... you're if it was because all of my cousins are adopted. So if you're already a foster kid, like it helps, but then there's still an additional fee that the parents have to pay.
Do you have to go through courts and stuff like that?
Say it again?
Do you have to go through courts and stuff like that?
Yep. Mm. There's an adoption court and everything.
That's insane.
Hmm.
Like I like if look if I was just guessing I would think they just giving them away like they do.
That's what I
the
thought.
Dogs, the way they end up with parents that are horrible, like it pisses me off because you would think they just like hear anybody, no background check, nothing. Like you hear those stories about how people get these kids and like end up getting like some type of benefits from them and things like that. You would think they look anybody could do it.
I know you. I feel like we talked about it on this show. The white family that adopted like the black brother and sister and like had them chained up in
it
a
had
cage
them living in
and, like doing
a real
work
life
or something.
like a back house like slaves would live
like crazy.
Like sleeping on the floor. The only reason they got caught, I think a neighbor could hear them in there and like thought something was suspicious.
Right.
Like that type of story happens all the time. You have people that literally adopt children to make them slaves of
work.
Of one way or the other, like whether it's the sexual kind,
wasn't
whether it's
feeding them,
wasn't feeding them nothing. So you would think they just let anybody get them. I guess if you could pay the fee, there's that. But Man. You also hear stories about like there's one influencer right now that's going viral, and it really makes me sad because like the little boy went viral because he was pretty funny, like cute kid, super funny. He went viral, and his parents now, like, their whole Instagram is just him. Like, there's one video where he's, like, you could tell he's trying to hold it together. And he's like, Mom, can you cut the camera off? I've stepped on a thorn. And she's still recording.
That's good content.
No, for, like, really. Like, he's just, like, a kid that needs to be consoled right now. And you have this camera in this kid's face. Like, it really pisses me off to see that type of stuff. Like, that's pathetic. And, like, there's one video of him. Thank you for saving me from homelessness and not having a home to go to. This boy is like 4.
You gotta chill,
like, man. You know they told him.
You
this.
Making him say that. You, that's crazy.
Which is so, like, that's abuse. That's pretty much work abuse, too, because now his life has only been social media content. That's work. He asked for a break from work to be loved by a mom when he stepped on a thorn and you kept recording. That's what happened.
Right after this, 10 more minutes.
Man.
Quit. Crying.
Right. I thought you was telling me. I was like, dang, all right. We going to break? Crying. My bad. I got to toughen up these days.
Jasmine says, listen, that happens in Wisconsin. A lot of black kids being adopted in the suburbs.
Man.
Man, I'm telling you, man. And then, so I'm assuming obviously foster kids and adoption is different, right? Foster is what you looking after them for a certain amount of time, or
until
is that
until they're adopted? I think.
Okay, until they're adopted.
Or until, like, I know my mom, she fostered a bunch of kids, but they were family members.
And
so,
then, so I know my peoples, they had some foster kids too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get paid for fostering a child? And then when you adopt them, you have to pay a fee? Is that how that goes?
That's where I got confused at, because I do know they give you sorts of support, right? And obviously,
for fostering.
Like, for fostering. So I don't know how adoption works, because my mom did ultimately end up adopting, like, my cousin mm-hmm. and my nephews. So mm-hmm. I don't know what that process was like. I could ask her. Mm-hmm. But I feel like she didn't pay. I feel like because they needed homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Okay. Got you.
So maybe different situations are different. But yeah, I feel like Mary J. Blige just regrets it, because it sounds like she wants a teenager. She don't want no baby still. Like, it's, she said now that they older, it's
she
lit.
She go get her teen. Them the hardest ones to get
yeah.
adopted, I heard. Them the
exactly.
hardest ones to find homes for. I'm sure they would love a Mary
Man,
J.
What?
Blige to come take them huh. off the show. I mean, off
show,
adoption.
No.
That sounded crazy.
But, I
mean. The dump button.
The dump. But no, I completely understand. Seriously, though, like, I do think, like, a lot of these teenagers would be happy to be adopted by somebody with that level of, you know,
yeah,
celebrity.
For sure. For
the
sure,
resources that would be available. And, like, she came from rough beginnings, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Mary,
right?
Yeah.
So, like, she would be able to
she
guide
had a
them.
Rough, man, they said Mary best music is when she was going through it.
Damn.
They said when Mary was happy, they ain't like the music she was making.
They said, you ain't suffering enough. Hold on.
Right. Get back to suffering so we can get
what's
these
off
hits.
About this music?
Straight up.
You need to suffer.
No more hateration in this jamboree.
Hateration.
Man.
Being from Foster, that's some like Orphan Annie stuff. Like, man. Mary J pulls up.
The sun'll come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Don't go anywhere, y'all. We'll be right back on the award-winning 101.7 FM. What up, y'all? Welcome back. Welcome back to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. Live from the American Family Insurance Studios, this is The Grapevine with your boy Ray Nitty and maybe Shannon holding it down. Next week, Doc B. I'm Doc B. Jesus!
I was like, who's that?
What up, Doc B? Next week, Doc B got something going on. I just shouting him out. But next week, Homer Blow will be holding us down in The Grapevine. Doc B be listening to the show. That's what he just texted me. That's what happened. Threw me off a little bit. But Homer Blow will be holding The Grapevine down next week. It's a lot of sap sauce in my brain.
The sap sauce. But to him, y'all.
We want to have a conversation, y'all. We was talking about this on a lunch break about alcoholism in the black community. So we want to start this by, and I did not know this. Maybe I did. Mm. Black Americans do not drink more than white Americans. For some reason, I felt like I didn't know that, but then you look around and you're like, I think we do know that.
Yeah. We look around.
You know,
I don't know.
If we look at the key problem causers. Anyway, multiple large surveys find lower rates of alcohol consumption and even lower overall rates of alcohol use disorder, 6.9 among black adults versus higher rates among white adults in federal data. This matters because the story isn't we drink more. It's what happens once drinking becomes a problem. Once the spirit leaves your body. Okay? Once a problem starts, it doesn't let go. What's your favorite drink, Shannon?
My favorite drink. So listen, look, listen, look, I was gonna do something else. I'm
he
like,
said, how much time you have, Ray?
Listen, I like, do you like pina colada?
He said, you saw my flight got delayed, right?
Say, old English, four loco.
Depends the day of the week.
Sometimes I mix it all. But low-key, I'm a vodka girl. I'm not on the tequila trend like that, for real. I like vodka. I like my vodka Red Bull. I know they say your heart gonna jump out your chest.
Jesus.
But it keep you going.
You lost.
It keep you going.
She get her wings and she fly around that yacht.
My spirit be on my wings, you hear me? But now I've been venturing into rum. I'm like, why do people not drink rum?
Rum is probably the smoothest.
You sip on it.
I love rum. Yeah, rum I would slam it. Rum. I sip on rum. Shots.
Yeah, no, rum is smooth. Cruising rum. Jesus, this is such a counterproductive conversation.
It is.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Jesus.
I'm over here.
It's look, my fault.
I mean, it's Friday, though.
I started it.
4 o'clock somewhere.
You know what? I'm going to have a drink.
I like mojitos. Look, I love a mojito.
I used to, when I was in my younger days, mojitos was like disgusting to me. Like, I didn't like feeling these leaves floating over to my tongue. I didn't enjoy that. That was strange to me.
The minty?
Yeah, I didn't. Just the texture of like you drinking something and then like, oh, what is that? You know, it's like
seaweed. No,
aren't you from the islands?
I am, but you know, we drink rum, not mojitos.
Drink not rum. Mojito. Look,
my
like
first mojito I had was in this country.
Really?
Yeah.
I just, yeah. Mojitos do something to my spirit. I love them. And, like, it's the perfect, like, summer day drink. It's refreshing. A little bit of lime. I love lime. I put lime on anything. Man, yeah, I love
my go-to, though, Grand Marnier.
What is that?
Man, it's like an orange liqueur.
Okay. Oh.
But it's pretty smooth.
You like a Cadillac Margarita?
You feel me?
Oh.
Grand Marnier with some ginger beer.
Okay. I like
ginger
beer.
A splash of pineapple rum.
Oh, that actually sounds good. Pineapple rum.
Damn, maybe I got a problem. Shit.
Yeah, we both do. Look, making me relapse. No.
The rate of recurrent or persistent alcohol dependence among Black Americans in Ray and Shannon is 35.4%, the highest of any racial group measured. Compared to 33% for Hispanics, you putting them coronas back,
hello.
Americans and tequila. And 22.8% for white Americans. It's translation mean Black drinkers are less likely to develop a problem, but far more likely to stay stuck in it once it starts. Yeah. Black women specifically, this is you, Shannon,
carry
a documented, measurably worse long-term physical and functional health burden from alcohol use disorder than white women. Even controlling for income, insurance, and treatment access, according to the National Longitude data.
Somebody said vodka and Bang energy drink sent them to the hospital.
Damn.
Why would you? Bang don't even sound like you supposed to be. Bang, bro. Why would you do that?
I just remind me of when somebody hit a three at the Bucks at the Pfizer. Bang! Another three, another shot.
Sorry.
Man, but.
I'm sorry.
Where we at with this? Black. Oh, yeah, we said that. So, y'all specifically, Shannon, carry out a documented, measurable, worse long term physical and functional health burden. So, should think about that after we get off air.
After my mojito.
So, maybe.
I'll think about it.
Maybe we get a short, not a tall.
Yeah. So, I think when they say, like, a lot of times didn't they pretty much say, when we do have a problem, it's harder for us to fix the problem,
yep.
Right? But I think it just goes back to when we had the conversation about mental health and how we don't seek help. Because I do think alcoholism is, like, something that people will go seek like mental health treatment for or other things to get to the, you know, bottom of why they are drinking the way they are, or they, you know, just seeking help in general is hard for Black people. So I think that's the reason behind that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And a lot of times Black people, when we have problems, like you said, we don't go seek help. What we go seek? A drink.
Hello. We gonna find our answers at the bottom of that bottle.
Your answers and your solutions. You might be in jail.
You might
be in jail. Or the hospital.
Man.
Something is going to be at that bottom waiting on you.
Hello. And it might.
Something will be.
But, you know, 9 times out of 10, it ain't going to make the situation better. I think that's what we need to remember.
Yep. Which is a great segue for what's next. The health toll that follows.
Mm.
The situation that follows. Black Americans face higher rates of liver cirrhosis, cirrhosis death, yep, and overall alcohol-related mortality compared to white Americans. We just talked the other day about how many of our family members, a couple people in the YouTube chat, yep, talked about losing grandparents. I lost my father. My wife lost her father. Mm-hmm. I lost some other family members as well, mm-hmm, to it. I think, Shannon, you talked about some folks,
yeah,
as well.
My uncle, my sister, she actually passed from cirrhosis of the liver, too.
Yep.
So I think it's important for us, like, and like I said, it just goes back to, because I don't know if, like, you guys remember, like, family members that have passed of that, them thinking, like, oh, I can do it on my own. Like, I don't need, like, help. I'll figure it out. And it's like, right, sure about that? And, right, you know, they probably needed help.
Yep. Man, a lot of people need help, and all they do is seek another drink, man, because the mind, that, mm-hmm, mental, is a very dark place, which is why we say, sometimes meditation is a good alternative, man, sitting in that silence. What else we got?
I do feel like a lot of us need to, we need more access to what we can do other than drink, though. You know what I'm saying? Because, yeah, a lot of times I do feel like we get together and the first thing we do is, like, we're going to drink. Happy hour. You know?
The wind down. Ladies night.
All this sound fun, right? You got to make it sound. But sad.
No, I'm you bring up a right point, though, because look at how we make these, like, these are things that we have labeled to help us decompress from a stressful week.
Yeah.
Or a stressful day.
Mm-hmm.
We need an hour of drinking.
Hey, you seen COVID. They was walking around with wine bottles with the dogs in the suburbs. So
come on now.
You know, I don't think it's the problem only African-Americans deal with, but we have to also acknowledge that we are very, I don't even know if the right word is stubborn, but we're very much like the type of people that, oh, I got it, I can figure it out. So once you get into that rabbit, mm-hmm, hole where you inching toward alcoholism, it's real hard to pull you back, because a lot of us, we know it all. Monday fun day and thirsty Thursday.
I'm telling you, feeling it Friday.
Feeling it Friday.
Fill it up Friday. Shot Saturdays. Come on now.
Yeah, we definitely have to come up with other things that are fun.
Sunday fun day.
And we gotta, we gotta work together on that as a community for sure.
Maybe that's something we'll do as a station, as a crew. We're gonna have some healthy alternatives, yeah, to wind down for the week.
Yoga.
Yeah.
Meditation.
Yeah.
Sound bowl with a bowl.
Straight up. Straight up.
We gonna figure it out, y'all. We gonna get it together.
Oh yeah, you're right. The views and opinions is that of our own. A 2024 hospital-based study found Black patients with alcohol-associated liver disease had the lowest ratio of transplant listing to death of any racial group. 0.13 versus 0.26 for white patients, meaning even when the disease is just as severe, Black patients are getting less access to the life-saving transplant list. We just talked about this. We just talked about, what is it called? Organ donating. And
oh, did you guys on air?
No, when we were off air.
Yeah. I thought you furthered the conversation.
Saying that's why some Black people don't put themselves on the list, because they see you as an organ donor, and then
we need that,
you know, they don't extend the life-saving measures, I guess, that they would in others. So it was interesting to hear that, and now to even see this, it's funny how we had a conversation and all of a sudden, boom, here's some facts to actually back it up, right? So Black Americans are, as a matter of fact, don't go anywhere, y'all. We'll be right back and we'll get into some more data right after this. Blame it on the gurus, got you feeling loose. Blame it on the drone, got you feeling gone. Blame it on the gurus. What up, y'all? Welcome, welcome, welcome back. Welcome back to the Grapevine. It's your boy Rick. Speaking of grapes.
What? You know what makes grapes?
Man.
Grapes are made of.
You know, blame it on alcohol, wine, grapes. Welcome to the Grapevine, man. Ray Needy, Maybe Shannon, DJ Brother Z holding us down on the production and sound. Excuse me.
It's the sap.
We're talking about alcoholism. A little rice kernel wedged in my throat. Black Americans.
Black Americans. He got the facts. He just got to get himself together. We having a little technical difficulty.
Here we go. I'm back. Black Americans are 20% more likely than general U.S. population to experience serious psychological distress, a major, often overlooked driver of why alcohol You literally just said this, Shannon. You just said, and we all be going dealing with our mental health. And now I'm going to read it again. When they say we don't be knowing, artists and influencers don't be knowing no real journalism and what we talk about. Black Americans are 20% more likely than the general U.S. population to experience serious psychological distress. A major, often overlooked driver of why alcohol dependence, once it takes hold, is so hard to escape. All right? Black Americans are less likely to develop a drinking problem. Which is interesting. But once it happens.
You in there.
More likely, Shannon. More likely than any other group to stay stuck in it. Yep. And to die from the physical toll.
I mean, we said that. Because it all points back to us being less likely to go seek help.
Yep.
Medical help. It points back to us being less likely to seek help for mental health,
mm-hmm.
right? And like a lot of the times people are using their stressors and things. I will say when I worked at the hospital, it was very normal for people to just go out to drink after work or whatever. Mm-hmm. We worked second shift, so it's late. Or I would like people like, yeah, just buy a bottle of wine. And I'm like, that's mm-hmm. normal. I was like 19, 20 at the time. So I'm like, well, no, I was when I started there, I was 19, 20. I was legal when I was drinking. I was about 23 when I started this trend. I was like, yeah, buy a bottle of wine and just drink after work and wind down. And then I started to see a therapist, and she was like, you said a bottle every other night? I don't. Man. She was like, that don't sound normal. I was like, everybody do it. No? No. So that's when I was like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. And like, I don't know what would have happened if I hadn't been told that's not normal. That's not normal behavior. That's that is tiptoeing on something dangerous. You know what I'm saying? I just genuinely didn't know. Everybody was doing it. The grown-ups was doing it. So it was just like one of those things where if it hadn't been called out by a mental health specialist, by somebody that is licensed that knows what this looks like, it could have been bad. And I wouldn't have known. I would have
been heading down the wrong path.
Right. She was like, excuse me. You wanna say that again? I was like, what? Hey, you think that's too much? You're like, yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
You don't want any?
You want a glass? I brought a bottle for us. I bought a bottle for us to share.
Join me in a cigarette. Man.
Oh, but yeah, like if we aren't using the resources for anything else. Obviously, we ain't going to use it when we have an alcohol problem. And like you said, we're more likely to pass away from these problems like cirrhosis of the liver. Because there's so many warning signs before you get too far gone, right? Mm-hmm. Where they're like, hey, you should fix this. But I feel like a lot of people won't go to the doctor until it's too far gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they're like, oh, yeah, your liver is like fried. Sure. It's over. Like, it's nothing we can even do. Like
your liver on the grill.
Yeah. Cook it up and give it to that man that was trying to bite him. No, let me.
Placenta.
The placenta. Sell it to him as a placenta.
I do eat liver, though. I eat liver.
And then y'all judge me for eating chitlins.
I definitely eat liver. Chitlins and liver, two super different parts of the animal.
It's inside an animal.
Yeah, but one is stuff.
What is it, right?
Stuffed
it's
with
what?
One is stuffed with
what is a stuff?
Poo. All right? And one is just a liver. You know what? A liver is something that cleans. That's what a liver does.
Yeah, so everything dirty goes through it.
You know where chitlins go? No, it cleans it and sends it back. It doesn't matter, Shannon. It cleans it, all right? The what you eat is what gets rid of it.
It gets rid of it.
So.
Chitlins are good. You put hot sauce on it. I'm pretty sure it's good for something. Okay, we're going to figure that out. I'll do my research.
Wipe your ass with. I can say that.
I'm just. That's what
chitlins good for.
But I eat liver a little bit. Every now and then I will if I like have the
I knew you ate liver. She side eyed like she you look like a liver eater. She looked like a liver eater.
She never came on this second show.
Man.
Liver eating bulldog.
That I am. I eat some liver right now. So it's not just about neighborhoods drinking more, y'all. All right? It's about what's for sale there. We got a couple more minutes.
We talked about that the other day.
Hey, man,
we be on point.
We ain't even had no research for that.
We seen it with our eyes because we in the community.
We in them liquor stores.
We boots on the ground reporting.
A landmark Johns Hopkins study of Baltimore found predominantly black low-income neighborhoods were 8 times more likely to have carry-out liquor stores than white or integrated neighborhoods, despite black residents in these same studies reporting lower alcohol consumption overall. A more recent Baltimore comparison, a wealthy 80% white neighborhood had about 2.7 alcohol outlets per 10,000 people. A low-income 96% black neighborhood a few miles away had 7.3 outlets per 10,000 people, nearly triple the density. Nearly triple.
Wow.
So everywhere, we just said this, everywhere we turn, we could get a drink.
Literally. So the accessibility is there for that, but the accessibility ain't there when we trying to find healthcare providers, when we trying to find mental health care. It ain't there. But our neighborhoods is riddled with liquor stores. Anytime you need, you think about a drink, a liquor store appear like a mirage. Mm-hmm. Hold on. There is one right there. Like, is that a liquor store?
Brick wall. You walked into a stone.
Listen, I'm telling you. The way it's set up for us to fail.
100%, man. I think that says a lot. And what you just said made so much sense. We could turn around everywhere we look and find a drink.
Man.
But we got to turn around 10,000 times to find some help.
Man, have y'all tried to book an appointment in the inner city within distance of your home for anything?
For anything. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. We booked out about 3 years. If you still breathing then, you should stop by and see somebody. Like, you, what? Mental health? Oh, yeah. You good as gone.
I definitely tried to, get a therapist during the pandemic. And it was like, yeah, man, we'll reach out after the pandemic.
But it called a suicide hotline if you serious. Like, wait, what?
I'm like, damn.
And even now, turn you away. Like, it's getting nasty out here. Like, there is not enough resources for the things we actually need. But the things that they know we are already oversaturated with, the things we already don't need, listen.
Yep, 100%.
They're going to give you more of it with ease.
We got a couple more minutes, and Shannon got a couple grapes to pick. That's fine. Could do two in a row if you want. We ain't did nothing.
Listen, we got the menu.
A couple breaks to pick off the menu.
I'm over here. I'm trying to hold it so y'all can see. I can read. Look.
What you got for us, Shannon?
All right. Beginning Wednesday, August 12th, Friday,
I told you. See, it wasn't just me.
Are your finances low, your mindset off track, or are you ready to get into real estate? Tune in to The Journey with Coach Erica every first and third Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon on 101.7 The Truth. It's all about mindset, money, and real estate, helping you take the next step toward building a better future.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all for joining us. Don't forget tomorrow, yes, it is Truth Family Fest at Riverside University High School. It's not raining tomorrow, so I don't want to hear no excuses. It's sunshine all day, 76. So make sure y'all pull up, man, Riverside from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for Truth Family Fest. We're going to have a good time. Everybody going to be out there live. Shannon in the building hitting the bow. Hey. Emmett James in there doing his thing.
Who you about it, girl?
We're going to have a real good time. Cookies for everybody. Ben and Jerry.
Cookies and ice cream.
Cookies and ice cream for everybody.
Popcorn.
All right.
Activities for the kids. Backpacks. Don't miss it, y'all. Bring them kids out. Get them out the house.
Next week, home or blow, we'll be squeezing all the grapes on the grapevine, y'all. So don't go. Shannon, you in studio Monday, ain't it?
I am.
Shannon will be holding down the lunch break in studio Monday. I'm going to be in Poland. I'm going to be doing the walk to Poland.
He doing the Poland.
You feel what
I'm
saying?
He going to be in the snow. It's snowing out there, right?
Oh, next. Miss today she Jazzy Blanco. Today Jazzy Blanco is in the building. That's a Jazzy I know. That's a Jazzy who walk up, slap the hell out of you for stuff. Look, she got her shirt on.
Oh,
the tap in is up next, y'all. Don't go anywhere.
What did he do to make them nick that mad?